Welcome to Living Life in the Anne, for the woman who is set on getting everything she effing deserves. I am your host, Dr. Stephanie D. Barnes, your best life transformation strategist. I help women to get everything they desire and deserve in life by equipping them with powerful strategies for immediate implementation to achieve fulfillment. Because life is too long to live unfulfilled. It's time. Girl, it's time. It's time for you to get everything you desire and deserve. It's time for you to live your life on purpose and to live a life of fulfillment, meaning, and joy. It's time. It's time for you to walk boldly in the power of your decisions. Because girl, if you're going to be in this world, you need to be fulfilled in this life. Life is too long to live unfulfilled. Join me for another episode of Living Life in the End, where you learn how to achieve fulfillment and commit to completing all the desires of your heart. Hey, it's your girl, Dr. Stephanie D. Barnes, and it's time for another installation of Conversations, Libations, and Revelations. Real talk for real life. How can we be fulfilled if we can't be for real? Listen in for this great conversation with purpose with my girlfriend and our favorite grown woman beverage. Get your favorite libation and join us for this great conversation and the revelations that unfold. It's about to get real. Well, y'all know what I'm going to say, because I say this every episode. I'm excited. Yes, I'm excited about my guest today, Dr. Angelita Howard. Hello, girlfriend.
Hello, girlfriend. How are you?
I am wonderful. And I just must say, I love saying your name, Angelita. That's just so cool to me. So I'm going to say it and enunciate it because I just think it's so cool. But anyway.
Thank you so much, ma'am.
All right. Well, girlfriends, we are in for a treat. And before we get into this great conversation with the purpose, just let me tell you a little bit about Angelita and her fabulousness. So Dr. Angelita Howard is a native of Atlanta, Georgia, and she is currently the Assistant Dean for Online Education and Expanded Program, where she is responsible for directing, overseeing, and managing and implementing a full range of activities and duties necessary for the ongoing operation and development of learning initiatives and programs. She is fabulous, y'all. In addition, she is responsible for third-year medical student clerkships, placements in rural areas, along with clinical affiliation expansions, and she works for Morehouse School of Medicine. Prior to this, Angelita served as Vice President for Academic Program Development and Institutional Effectiveness and Planning. So she is very awarded. She has been recognized for her outstanding performance, outstanding presentations, outstanding facilitator online, and even though she is quite recognized professionally, she is proud of her greatest accomplishment, her 18-year-old daughter, who has been her light in many dark spaces and kept her bosses up throughout the situation. Welcome again, Angelita.
Wow. I'm not sure who you just introduced, but
girl, I'm talking about you.
Yes. We're going on the road together.
Yes, yes. So you know what I want to know. Girl, what you drinking? Yes.
I am drinking actually a mocktail.
Okay.
It has cranberry juice. It has orange juice. It has a little spritzer in it and a little ginger ale. And it is absolutely fantastic.
Well,
it is quenching my thirst.
That is awesome. Well, I got a little bit more spirit in my drink today.
Well, you work out every single day. I'm telling you, you work out hard.
Oh my God.
It's super hard. So I'm trying to get to where you are. So,
yes. Well, you know, I believe in finding low calorie spirits, you know. So
yes.
I don't put a lot in my spirits. So I can say the calories for other things. But I have a summer solstice gin today on the rocks.
Okay.
So, you know, it is quite nice and delightful for this hot summer day. So
yes.
With that, you know, I always want to know the who, the what, and the why. Because of course I've said a little bit about who you are professionally, what you do for a living, but I want to know, who is the real Angelita Howard? What is it that you really do? And how do you live your life in the end?
Awesome. Absolutely. I am a singer. I love to sing.
Yes.
I absolutely love to sing. Actually, I went to undergrad for music.
Oh.
I went to undergrad. I studied classical music undergrad. And though I don't really sing classical music anymore, most of my singing may be in the church or if there's a wedding or an event or something like that. But Angelita loves to, I enjoy it. That is what takes my energy and what really helps me to calm and be settled and have peace. Alongside, you talked about my daughter, who is absolutely my world. We've been in this journey 18 years. And so I love being a mom. I love being a singer. That's what makes me happy. I love building things. Mm-hmm. You talked about the online program at Morehouse School of Medicine. All of my adult life, I've liked to build and make sure that people get the benefit out of whatever I build. So I am in my element, building new programs, making sure that people are able to benefit and able to grow. That same thing as it relates to worship and church. When I sing, I feel like I'm connecting with people, making sure that, or giving them opportunity to worship, giving them opportunity to grow. And so that has been what I live for. And I just love it.
Well, I can tell you, you are one of the most exuberant people I have ever met. Every time I see you, you are full of life and just joy bubbling all over. We were discussing earlier before we began this call or began this conversation about how we first met. It was in a mundane meeting, but we were talking about mundane stuff, but you were so exuberant and happy that I was happy about what you were talking about. But yes, but that is something that is beautiful. And it is not by chance that you are most happy when you sing.
Yes.
And that what I wanted to kick off this conversation with is about you singing.
Mm.
And of course, you know, I have, you know, been following you on social media. We've known each other for a while now, but there was a post, I don't know, I mean, I guess about a few weeks ago, maybe about a couple of months ago at this point, where you shared that 6 years prior that you had been choked, and you
had
been choked to the point where you could not talk for 4 months.
Mm-hmm.
You were hoarse for another 6 months, and you could not sing at all.
Yes.
And of course, in the post, you're introducing the fact that you are now able to sing again after much therapy, after, you know, many treatments, but that you had not yet gotten to your prior range, but you could sing.
Yes.
And when I saw that post and connected with your story, I immediately thought about how it is important for us, when we lose our voice, to be committed to finding it again.
Yes.
And so that's what I just wanted to kick the conversation off with. And just getting a little bit more about that journey and how, given your passion for singing, how you felt when you could not, but your commitment to being able to do so again.
Yeah, that, you know, thank you for sharing that, and thank you for reading it. Thank you for allowing me to discuss that. I think it's so important as women, as people, that we find our voice, or that we are able to use our voice for so many things. And I've used my voice all of my life, whether it was to teach, whether it was to sing, whether it was to speak. I've always used my voice. And I'll never forget the Thursday night I had been in conversation with my then fiance, and we'd been talking and discussing, and things got heated. And within minutes, I found myself being choked. Yes, I will tell you this. I will be very transparent, because people will listen and say, well, what made him do that? What happened? We were in a heated conversation, and I said, you can go straight to hell. And so that was difficult for him to hear that. And I don't apologize for saying that. Maybe the way I said it, but certainly I don't apologize at that point. And so at that point, the rage, the anger that tricked him, that set him off, that did something to him, for him to take my neck and literally choke me. I don't believe he was trying to kill me. I really don't believe he was trying to kill me, but to put his hands on me to choke me was enough. And so I began, I remember as it was yesterday, today happening. I said, you're hurting me. I couldn't breathe. I could not breathe. And I believe that's when he began, because I'm looking at him like, oh my goodness, I can't believe you're choking me. It is. And I went silent. And I fell to the ground, and I remember saying, call the police, call the ambulance, call the police. And of course, in his mind, I'm sure he thought, if I call anybody, I'm going to jail. Mm-hmm. And so that didn't happen. But I'm saying, if you don't go get me help, my voice, it's gone. I had nothing, nothing. And so I would leave. I left and I just remember driving home in tears. I couldn't say anything. I had to sing. In fact, I had to minister that Sunday. We were at the same church. And I remember that Sunday having to sing or do praise and worship. I couldn't do anything. I couldn't talk. I couldn't talk above a whisper. And all I remember is lying. I lied to cover it up. I lied because I didn't want the shame or the embarrassment of this man to hit the people that he served. And so a week later, still no voice, still couldn't talk, still no voice. Oh, laryngitis, something, it was horrible. It was horrible. Mm. 2 weeks later, hadn't yet gone to the doctor, because I'm just hoping and believing my voice will come back. But I knew it. I knew that I was strangled, that I was choked, and it would not come back, not like I thought it would. And so the first month went on. I went to my primary care and the ENT, and there were some tests and some scopes, and you had swollen nodules and things of that nature. Again, still didn't say anything, still didn't say what really happened. I'm just trying to get my voice back. 2 months later, 3 months later, a whisper, more than a whisper, you know, some sound starts to come. Couldn't sing. Come back about 4 months, I switched ENTs, went to actually the ENT that Tony Braxton used to use, because I spent so much time, energy, money developing this voice. And I just couldn't do anything with it. So months and months would go on, and every day I would get a new strength to find out, figure out, know that I'm going to live to see it happen. My voice is going to come back. I don't know when, I don't know how. So many days I cried, so many days I was disappointed, so many days I was upset. Like, why? Why, God, did you allow this to happen? Why the most precious thing that I have outside of my daughter was taken from me? And so I began to remember, I always used to hear my mom or my grandmother or people say, if you don't use it, you're going to lose. If you don't use it. And I wasn't using it to my max because I had stopped focusing on what God wanted for me and what I wanted for myself. Mm-hmm. And when I stopped focusing on his promises and what he wanted to do in my life, I took my eyes off of him. I took my eyes off what his promises, his focus for me was, because I was focused on the wrong thing. Mm. I was focused on a physical person who would in the end do something like this, which I knew he was capable of. But I hid it for so long because guess what? When you're in love,
right,
you do stupid crap. You do stupid stuff. We do because we love, and we don't want people, we don't want the outsiders to see our mess. We don't want the outsiders to see how much in bondage, because they actually might be right.
Right.
So we want to hide it. We don't want to show it. We don't want to show it. So so months and years went by, the treatments. I stopped going to the treatments, and but eventually I would be introduced to this lady named Callie Day, Dr. Callie Day, who's a phenomenal singer. Anybody can YouTube her, look her up. And one day I said, you know what, I'm going to start taking singing lessons again. This was, of course, many years. I hadn't had singing voice lessons in a long time. And so I just began to believe and just work on my own healing. I said, because you've got to be a participant of your own healing, whatever that healing is. If it's healing of your voice, healing of your soul, healing of your spirit, you have to be a participant. And so I began to be more a participant, not angry, not upset. I can't blame him anymore.
Right.
It was gone. I was gone. I was done with that.
And so,
you know, as time and time went on, you know, I began to sing again. I began to, and I promise, when I got my voice back, I never stopped singing, and I've never stopped singing since. No, I don't float like I used to, but I tell you what, I'm still going to sing. I sing, and I believe the Lord, what he has given me is great. Is greater than what I had, and I'm grateful for it.
Yes. You know, you have dropped so many gems, you know, as I'm listening to you, and just, you know, obviously this is your real story. This is something that really happened to you, but it's such an allegory in terms of just, you know, how important it is for us as women to be focused on what we desire and deserve, not just what we desire. And,
yes,
you know, a lot of times we can get so focused on, oh, I want him, I want this, this is so great. You know, we get so focused on the thing that we begin to become blind to the fact that what we desire is not what we deserve, and we deserve better.
Yes.
And, you know, with living life in the and, ultimately is a commitment to getting everything you desire and deserve. You know, it's not by chance that the and is in there. And means you go for it all, and you don't just get what you can, but you get what you deserve.
Yeah.
And, you know, being able, you know, it is hard. I'll just use that word. It is difficult at times to understand the why of the losses we experience in our life. You know, him. Mm-hmm. It's like you say, you talked about you were angry with God. Well, why would he take away the one thing you loved?
Yeah.
And, you know, why do that? And, you know, it's hard when we lose what we love.
Yeah.
And what we often find, it's kind of like the story. I know you've seen this. It's a meme. It's a, you know, post. It's been out there even before Facebook. But about the story about the man, and I think he's in a BMW, Mercedes or something, driving down the street, and his car gets hit with a brick. Mm-hmm. He gets out. He's all mad. He's upset. Like, you know, the little kid, you know, why did you hit my car with the brick? And the little kid is like, because I needed your help, and it was the only way I could get you to slow down. Mm. And, you know, and it's hard. Yeah. When God throws a brick at us.
Yes. Yes. We don't like brick thrown.
Yeah, it's because you're like, hey, now God, you're supposed to be my protector and my refuge. Yes. Why are you throwing bricks, man?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
But many times he will do that. And so, yes. You know, when you were going through this process, you know, you talked about how you wouldn't say what really happened because you wanted to protect the man who had done this to you. Mm-hmm. At what point, obviously now you're sharing what happened, but at what point did you stop protecting him so that you could, like you say, participate in your own healing?
So I probably stopped protecting him by my departure. So verbally, I may have continued to protect him because I never said anything to people. Because and let me share the reason why, especially when we talk about church people, because most of the people, the relationships that we built together were in the church because he's pastor. So people look for every way to discredit God and to discredit the church and to discredit the work of the church. I was not going to give them that opportunity because I knew that whatever God had to deal with him, he would deal with it with him. He would be exposed in his time, and he has. All of that stuff would come out and he would have to deal with God. That wasn't for me. So, but my departure said a lot. My departure started to tear down walls, started to tear down whole walls, because people understood if I departed, if I left, oh, then what they may have thought, what they may have believed about the character of him, it would happen. And so after that incident, I began to, again, participate in my healing, to navigate in my healing. And at that time, I had not even gone to counseling. I hadn't even I didn't start therapy until afterwards, until after I was completely gone. And when I believed that I was healed, that's when I started therapy, because I said, I want to make sure that I'm healed. And so, So I would say certainly after that incident, I hung around for a good 6-7 months, too long, because, of course, my daughter was involved, active in the church. We had a lot going there. And so that was a ministry that I helped birth. I was in it from the beginning. And so to walk away from people, to walk away, just to walk away completely, it took some time.
Yeah.
It took some time.
And, you know, just listening to that story, again, your story is real. It's not just something that you are, you know, telling for the purpose of this conversation. But again, it's so full of representation of what we often do, that sometimes we will silence our own voices. We will silence our own voices to protect others, to protect ourselves. And and I don't say that with judgment by any means, because, you know, you talked about how you didn't want to be the voice to sound the alarm on his character, but you trusted and knew that that voice would be heard regardless of what you did. And and I think that is such a point of strength because, you know, I joke all the time about, you know, I love Jasmine Sullivan's I Bust the Window Out Your Car. And was it Carrie Underwood's, where she broke his car all up with the baseball bat. And, you know, I always hate, I'll use that word. It always pains me. That's a better word. It always pains me when I see women who are hurt.
Yeah.
Strike out in a way to retaliate, but in a way that hurts them more.
Yes.
And it is so easy to get caught up in the pain of what you're feeling and desire to avenge the wrong yourself. But it is a smooth boss move.
Yeah.
It is a smooth boss move.
Yes.
To just sit back and let karma do its job.
Yes.
Because, you know, karma's a cool cat, you know.
Yeah,
karma will get you.
Yes. Yes, it will. It will. But not in our time.
Right.
Not in our time. And sometimes it does hurt. Yes. Because I wanted to break some stuff, but
Oh girl, I know. Yeah. I know. I've won my thing, my euphemism is I want to kick folks in the neck. And you know, there've been a couple of times, you know, I want to just straight up kick them in the neck.
Well, but that's that boxing class.
Yeah,
that boxing class is preparing you.
Right. But you know, the lawyer in me is like, no, partner, you ain't worth going to jail for.
That's right. Yeah.
Oh, you are not worth going to jail for. But you know, we advocate for ourselves in so many different ways, and our voice truly is literally and figuratively the best tool that we have to advocate for ourselves and others. And I know that you not only have sought to literally find your voice again after having it taken away from you, but you also seek to help other women to find their voices. And of course, one of the avenues that I got a chance to really get a chance to get connected with you was through your platform, Lead Her Space.
Yes.
And as you describe that, you say women need to find their voice as often as we are stripped of it before we even walk in certain doors. But with the right coaching, I certainly believe we can walk in authority and confidence. And isn't it, I'm going to try to find the best word because I want to say great, but great is really not the best word. And it's not chance. Synchronicity is a word I use often, which is, you know, means meaningful coincidence, but it's more than that. It's probably providence, I'd say, in this situation where losing your voice in one literal area of your life propelled you to be able to help other women to find their voices in their careers and beyond. So tell me how you made that transition and how you went from finding your voice to helping other women to find theirs.
So earlier in our conversation, you know, I talked about helping, building, and empowering people. And so that is what my calling, I absolutely, without a doubt, know that it is. And so with Lead Her Space, I always wanted to, and I'm thinking so much now, this is exciting as you're talking about it, because I'm even thinking about your C-suite and just some of the conversations that we've had around that, or just thinking, considering that. But Lead Her Space last year was birthed in the midst of a pandemic. And so for me, it was, how do I give women a platform? How do we empower women? So many times we've been in situations and elements where women, just simply because they're women, we're not even talking about color of your skin, but just the fact just that you're a woman, have been denied opportunities, have been passed up, have been rejected because they are female. And so I wanted women to empower, engage, help to enhance other women by telling their stories, by encouraging, by being mentors to other women who were trying to lead or be leaders. We know, both you and I, because we share similar stories or workplace, we know what it takes to negotiate. And we still sometimes have trouble negotiating. Right. Because some people, men can say, I ain't gonna do it. And they stop and they're for real. And people are like, okay, well, what do you need? What do you want? Mm-hmm. A woman says, I ain't gonna do it. Oh, you're angry. Mm-hmm. You're mad.
You're Why emotional. Would
you say that? Yeah, you shouldn't.
Is it that time of the month?
Right. Oh, you gosh. Shouldn't say that. You shouldn't do that. And so that is from the pits of hell. Mm-hmm. You can have a voice and you should have a voice so many times. Again, back to this whole voice. Our voices have been dimmed, have been numb mm-hmm. because society says, oh, smile pretty and keep mm-hmm. your mouth closed. Women mm-hmm. should be heard, and, I mean, seen and not heard. Yeah. And guess what? My mama used to say that. Mm-hmm. I love my mama, and she's a firecracker. And I'm like, you're the one telling me to be seen and not heard. I hear you all the time.
Yeah, right, right.
So I'm thankful for that. So again, this was, you know, Lead Her Space is certainly that. It is a platform. I wanted people to have an opportunity to talk, to engage women, mm-hmm. to engage other women, other females who wanted to be leaders, who had the interest in being leaders. And I'm not saying that you have to go be a CEO or mm-hmm. a Fortune 500 a CEO or CFO, or you have to have an executive title, but in your right, even if you are an administrative assistant, whatever you do, you need to do it to the best of your abilities. Right. If you do nothing but wave your hand and clap your hand and stomp your feet, if you're a great dancer, be the greatest mm-hmm. clap your hand or be the greatest stomp your feet or be the greatest dancer, whatever element you are, you are called to be. Be the best.
That's right.
How do you be the best? By being around the best. Mm-hmm. When you came on our show on the Lead Her Space, when you had your talk, oh my goodness. I mean, people were inboxing, emailing, saying, I mean, they were just on the live, just really, if it was a church service, everybody would have been on the ground, fell completely out. But it is that type of motivation. It's that type of work. It's that type of energy. And yes, we're tired, but women hold so many titles. We're mamas, we're wives, we're girlfriends. We are house cleaners. We're Uber drivers. We're chefs. We have so much on our plate. Yet from the workplace, we still have to prove ourselves over and over and over again.
Yes.
And so for Lead Her Space, I wanted people to talk about, I want people to share, to think about, how do I navigate this? I'm having this difficult conversation with my boss about how do I get promoted? So guess what? If there are other people who have been in similar situations, how do I get promoted? Is it okay for me to try to negotiate? Absolutely.
It is. Yeah, you better.
Yeah,
you don't negotiate, you ain't gonna get what you deserve.
Right, and so those are things that you know helped us through and talk through, because usually it is, if we get 1,000 or 1% more than what we ask for, we say
we're grateful.
We're like, oh, good, yeah.
Oh my gosh, yeah. We grateful.
Yeah, but so our mind, we have to shift our thinking, and there are people, if we're not talking to each other and helping each other figure out how to shift our thinking, then we will stay stuck. We will stay in the same place. So it is incumbent upon me to help other women think about, and help other women help me, and me help other women think about, how do I continue to evolve? How do I continue to shift my mindset? How do I continue? Sometimes you just need a push.
Right.
Sometimes you just need a champion to say, you can do this. There were many times that I'm like, man, I really want to do this. I really want to grow. I really want to, I really wanted to do Lead Her Space 2, 3, 4, 5 years ago. I didn't have, the drive was there. I just didn't have that push or somebody whispering in my ear, say, Koi, step out. You're not losing anything.
Right.
You're not going to lose anything.
Right. And, you know, a lot of times we're waiting on the right time to be great. And there is no right time. Yes. There's the time that you stand out, step up, and be great. Yes. And, you know, you mentioned, you know, C-suite. And of course, my coaching program is C-suite Women's Network. And, you know, it began literally from the desire to get more women at the table. Because I looked around, at the time I was a C-suite executive, looked around the table, just me, and I knew there were other women that deserved to be there. And I began to realize that so many women that I talked to that had leadership capability didn't even see themselves as leaders because those characteristics were not celebrated in women. And, you know, it started out, you know, my whole quest with C-Suite Women's Network started out with me really wanting to be a CEO. Honestly, that's what it was all about. I wanted to be a CEO because I recognized everybody listened to the CEO. They weren't really listening to me. And so I was like, well, I need to get me one of them CEO titles behind my name so I can get people to listen to me. But what I had to recognize it, like you say, it has nothing to do with your title. It's your voice.
That's
how do you use your voice? And when you begin to use your voice for others, you truly find your own voice.
Yes.
Because when I desired, you know, for example, to get more women literally at the table, I had to read. I had to start reading about, well, what is this whole CEO business about? How do I become a better leader? How do I teach others to become a better leader? And navigating that path led me to get my PhD and led me to begin to do actual coaching in the leadership development space. And, you know, I've evolved, of course, to where I am now with helping women to live life in the end, which is to get everything they desire and deserve, because you don't need to wait until you get some title. You don't even need to have a title. You know, to be in a C-suite, literally, because C-suite Women's Network is really more about a C-suite state of mind, being the CEO of your life, although I do help, you know, women to become executives, but it's really about being the CEO of you.
Yes.
And finding your own voice, negotiating, using your voice to negotiate and advocate for yourself, but also advocating for others, because we are more powerful together than we are on our own.
I remember the last talk that I came to of yours in the C-suite, and you had several women on there, and a lot, everything you just talked about, it resonates so much. And in listening to the sea of women on your talk that day with various examples of how they had overcome situations or how they overcame different issues within the workplace because of exactly what you just said, navigating within your own self for your voice, being an advocate for yourself. And I, up until really listening to your show, that talk that night, I knew the struggle of women, but hearing it clear and really hearing people talk about, and you giving nuggets, dropping nuggets on that, people are not, they weren't having these conversations. At least people that are in the spaces that we are not at the C-suite, quote unquote, level, not having those type of conversations must be had. I applaud you and your work in building women like so. Building the confidence in women, giving them the thoughts and as I said, the nuggets, these to build themselves and to negotiate, but yet within themselves, within themselves. Because before you can do it with anybody else, before you can go and talk to any manager, supervisor, anybody else, you've got to have the confidence in yourself.
Right. It's so many times, you know, we are advocates for others. We will fight, especially for our children. We will fight. We will advocate. We will come with all the receipts for everybody else. But then when it comes time to step up for ourselves, all of a sudden, we all mealy mouth and can't say nothing.
Can't say nothing.
And we've got to get over that.
Yes.
And we've got to stop allowing our voice to be weaponized against us.
Yes.
Meaning, you know, as long as you don't say anything, oh, you're lovely. You're the best thing since sliced bread.
Yes.
But when you use your voice to advocate, then all of a sudden, oh, well, what's wrong with you? You know,
exactly.
You got an attitude today.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to celebrate our voices as much when we advocate as when we are celebrating others.
And
we've got to get over, worrying about they're not going to like me. If
yes.
I stand up for myself,
yes.
They ain't gotta like you. They just need to give you your money.
That's right.
Whatever it is you trying to get, that's what you need to be worried about. Not whether they like you, because them liking you ain't paying damn bill. Y'all know
yeah.
that I have a doctorate. You know, I have a law degree, but I do get to the vernacular every now and then. Because sometimes you just gotta break it down. We've got to recognize that our voice is a powerful asset.
That's right.
And it is powerful on all spectrums, because some of us have small, quiet voices.
Mm-hmm.
Some of us have loud, raging voices,
mm-hmm.
but both of those voices have the same value.
That's right.
And sometimes you got to use all your voices, because, you know, sometimes your inside voice don't work.
It don't work. That's right. You need to be very clear that
yes.
that doesn't work. Yes,
yes.
Sometimes your voice is your weapon. Had to
yes.
be.
Yes, yes. But a lot of people don't recognize for me when I get real quiet, my voice real quiet. Oh, that's some deadly lethal something there. You better let me be loud.
Right.
When I'm loud, I'm good.
That's
woo.
Right. Yes.
I get quiet. Oh.
Yes, you don't want me to get quiet.
Mm-mm, mm-mm. You don't want the quiet, Stephanie. That's kind of lethal, you know. But anyway, but it is such an important thing for us to advocate for ourselves,
yes.
learn
mm-hmm.
to advocate for each
yeah.
other,
mm-hmm.
and also learn to advocate for our own peace.
Yes.
For Ooh. Our own fulfillment.
Yes.
And, you know, living life in the and is a concept that I've had for, let's see, about, I came up with the concept in 2016. I happened to write a essay.
Mm-hmm.
I had a blog on Huffington Post where mm-hmm. I was a contributing author on the Huffington Post. And I wrote mm-hmm. a piece about having gone to my Harvard Law School Black Law Students Celebration.
Mm-hmm.
And I reflected upon a conversation. Well, actually, it was just a woman using her voice at a breakfast that was about work-life balance. And she basically got up and said, you know, I ain't got it all together. And, you know, that's okay. And I just ain't got it all together. And it was, you know, that I'm saying a lot less eloquently than what she said, but it is such a hard thing sometimes to admit,
yes.
especially when you're in that high performing area, because, you
mm-hmm.
know, everybody thinks, you know, you got it all together, but most of us, we don't, you know, I know I don't have it all together, you know,
mm-hmm.
but I get it done, but I don't have it all
right.
together. But anyway,
mm-hmm.
I wrote a piece about that and talked about the importance of trying to find balance. Because at the time I was still married, my marriage was like on like thin ice, because he was supposed to have gone with me and didn't go. And then like a few months, I guess maybe a month later, we actually broke up, but actually separated. But, you know, I was talking about this balance of being, trying to be everything
mm.
and basically mm-hmm. advocating that I shouldn't have to choose.
Right.
I shouldn't
mm-hmm.
have to choose between being a great wife and being a great career woman and being a great woman.
Mm-hmm.
I shouldn't have to choose. And so that has evolved over the years to this real commitment of living life in the and helping other women, because I think so many times we think we have to choose.
Yes.
And we don't.
We don't.
Now, we have to be honest. It ain't easy.
It's not.
It ain't easy. You know,
it ain't easy.
The easy thing is choosing. It is.
That's
but
right.
you will be unfulfilled. And I believe life is too long to live
mm-hmm.
unfulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that you are getting ready to transition
from
being a mother of a child in high school to now an empty nester. Your daughter just graduated. She's going to start college. We never stop being mothers.
We don't.
But you just do it at a different level. But now that you have successfully and you have raised your daughter and taught her to use her voice in her own way, how are you now going to focus on you? And I hope you don't say you ain't.
No, that's such a great question. And I'm going to say this because, again, some people think that therapy is a taboo or that it's a bad thing. It's, you know, oh my goodness, something actually has to be wrong with you. Nothing actually has to be wrong with you for you to have unbiased opinions and thoughts to help navigate, help you guide through what life looks like. And so the last conversation that I had with my therapist, probably about 3 or 4 months ago, I don't meet with her every week, every month. Sometimes we just catch up, we connect. One of the things that she gave me, it's called 125 adulting things. And I'm like, so I began to look at the list, and there are things on the list like walk, which I do every single day, swim. There are things like sex.
The sex is important. I just say, you know, all
sex
right,
is sorry. Important.
You sex. See, you see, okay, I'm gonna stay focused. All right, my bad.
No, I'm just putting it on. You know, taking hikes, just different. Yeah. I mean, it's like literally 125 different things, movies, vacationing, all of those things, which I love to vacation. I saw you and your boys on vacation. I was in Jamaica last week.
Yes.
So, you know, Stephanie, I'm going to live. I really am. While I know I will miss her, she, with technology now, she can FaceTime me anytime she wants to FaceTime me. I will certainly be at games, some of the games, not all of them, because she will play in the marching band. Mm-hmm. So this is a time for me.
You, yes.
I'm saying it in freedom. For those 18 years, I was connected to my daughter. I've been connected. She a lot of times came to work with me, not because she had to, but because I allowed her to. She's been involved. We've been actively engaged. Most of the time, unless it was a work trip, she was with me. She was, we did life together. And so now I'm really going to think about what Angelita loves to do.
Yes.
What does Angelita like to do? What does she enjoy? If I want to sit outside till 2 o'clock in the morning, damn it, I'm going to sit outside.
That's right. Reclaim your time, Maxine.
I am. And so for that, I am truly excited. I'm telling you, I was looking on Groupon because with the pandemic going on and not working in office, so to speak. Well, first of all, because I do online learning, all of my students I deal with, they're virtual. They don't come to campus.
Right.
And so, you know, thinking about even the work-life situation, I'm trying to figure out at least once a month whose beach I can be on somewhere on a Friday. If I work, I don't care if I work from wherever, remote, and spend Saturday and Sunday. I want that. I need that. And I'm going to do it.
That's right.
Here's the thing. You, let me tell you, you encouraged your post the other day. So I'm in the process. I'm looking for a house too. And I've been probably the last, probably good 6 months. I've really been in deep because I had hoped to transition from this lease when she graduated. But you as a home buyer, you know how the market is. You know how everything is. And it can be depressing. It can be really sad because I've had offer after, you know,
I'm going to tell you this.
Offer rejected.
I'm going to tell you this in the middle of that. Don't let it be depressing. You got to trust and believe that the house just for you is waiting on you. And that's why you're not getting the others. Believe that and fill it in your spirit.
So that's what I was about to say. Your post took every doubt, everything. Mm. Oh my goodness, because here's what you said on your post. You said everything that you wanted. So here's the reason why I have not gotten the house that I bid for, because
it missed
certain elements. Every single one of them missed certain elements of what I really wanted.
Yes.
So there were times that I bid it on the house. Yeah, it had this, but it didn't have that. Then I bid it on the house where really it was out of my budget that I wanted to spend. So God said, no, 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 no.
Yeah.
You posted that the other day. Oh my goodness. I was running through the house. I was like, yes, everything you wanted. You said everything.
Everything.
Not something. You didn't say, well, 80% of the things that I wanted. You didn't say, well, 92% of the things that I wanted. You didn't even say 95 or 96. You said everything. So that was a reminder to me that everything that I want, because I have settled, I have taken the high road, I have done so many things for so many people, so many things other, even for my daughter. It is me. So whatever it is that I think I want, every single thing, I wrote it down just as you said. And everything that I want, even the price, I'm going to have it.
That's right.
And when you did that. You said that, and I was like, yes!
Yes. Yeah. And you know, for those of you who are listening, I just bought a home in my own name. Praise God. And I posted, I closed on it a few days ago and posted about the experience. And because I am a woman of integrity, and because I get on this podcast and everything I do telling women to get everything they desire and deserve, I could not not do that myself.
That's right.
And I was about to settle, and that's truly what it was, settle on this cute townhome that was okay and it would work, but it was not everything I desired and deserved. And I listened to that spirit in my, listened to that in my spirit where I was like, this is not what you want, Stephanie. You don't have a place where you bottle tree. You don't have this, you don't have that. And I was open to looking at one more house. And that one more house was the house. And when I say y'all, it had everything. I had written a list about a year and a half ago and posted it on, it's kind of like a vision board, but I've got all these lists and it's not bucket list, but it's desire list, but it's things I desire. And I pulled it out as I was was packing and remembered everything that I asked for was in this house. Everything. So that is something that, Angelisa, I hope you just embrace in your spirit.
Yes.
And every woman, you got to go for everything you desire and deserve. And it's so hard. And I'm gonna give you like a little trivial example of this, but this is how serious I am about getting everything I desire and deserve. Well, I ended up having to spend more money than what I had originally planned. So my little money I had set aside for my fabulous back porch went into the house. That's fine. I got the house. And over Memorial Day weekend, they had a sale on on furniture, outdoor furniture. And it had some cute sets. They were cute. They were in my, they were real inexpensive, so I could buy them. They were cute. But then I pulled out my picture of the back porch that I really desired.
Which is on my camera too, my back porch that I desire.
And I'm like, these don't fit this. And it's not that I cannot get the outdoor couch that I desired, the one I truly desire. I just cannot get it right now because I needed to use that money for something else. And I was like, you know what? I'm not finna punk out on myself and this furniture because it's on sale, it's cheap or inexpensive. You know, it's in the price budget I got because I got a little piece of money left. Now, you know, after you buy a house, you ain't got no money left.
No,
but I'm like, I'm not going to do this to myself because every time I sit on that couch, I'm going to think about the couch I really desire. I've been sitting on, I have four chairs I've been sitting on for the past 4 years on my back porch that I love and enjoy. I'm going to sit on them a little while longer.
That's right.
Until I'm able to get what I desire and deserve.
Absolutely. So, and that's life. Here's the thing. When we are told no, no doesn't necessarily mean never, maybe not now. You plan, you participate in how it's going to happen and navigate your way and your work, your navigate it so that you get what you desire.
Don't
always be ready to settle just because, I can't have it now. Plan for it. If you know that's what you vision and dream, work toward it. This may not be the door. So guess what? You may have to go through the alley. This may not be the window. So you may have to come around to the back door. But that's called working. That's called working and waiting until.
Waiting expectantly.
Yes.
Waiting expectantly, believing so that what you're waiting for is actually possible.
Yeah. So that means that, hey, because it's not right now, that means you may put an extra $50 aside per check until you get what it is that you want. Stop selling. We don't have to sell.
For the big and the small. The big and the small, because
you work.
Because
if you didn't work, then maybe you settle for a little bit of this, that, and the other. But because you've worked, you've paid your dues. You've got to have something you love.
Right. Life is too long to be unfulfilled. And a lot of times we are unfulfilled because we won't wait to put in the work to get it. Or we won't wait for the time to materialize because, you know, a friend said to me, like, I'm about a month ago now. So yeah, May 8th, as a matter of fact, when they said it. Or maybe May 1st. May 1st was when they said it to me. But they said, timing is everything.
Yes.
And I say that has resonated in my spirit and has kept me grounded and being in perfect peace.
Yes.
While I'm waiting on the imperfections to work themselves out and while I'm waiting on what I desire to materialize, because it will, because I work for it, because I believe in Him. I'm not just sitting around, I believe. I believe, and then I'm positioning myself, positioning my life to actually receive it. But you got to act like you really want it.
Yes, you got
to. Because a lot of times we will use our voice and say, oh, I desire to be great. And then we're being mealy mouth in our actions.
Yes, yes.
We're being mealy mouth in our actions.
Yes, yeah. And we're just not doing it. We're not doing it. We've got to, that means some tough nights, some long nights. As you know, we're starting a health informatics program, on my program in August. And so I wasn't going to be the runner of this program and really design and really build it and not have some of the knowledge. And plus, it seemed very interesting and intriguing to me. So guess what? I went and I did a graduate certificate in it, in health informatics. In the midst of a senior year of my daughter. Now, honey, that wore me out. It wore me completely out.
Because but you made it. You did
but
it.
I made it. I decided to put on my big girl drawers. And I said, I am going to do this because people are not going to sit in the room with me
and you don't know what you're talking about.
And tell me what and what. No. We're going to come to the conversation, to the table. And I'm going to have the knowledge, maybe not the years of experience, but I'm going to have a fruitful, healthful conversation here, just like you, just like you and just like you. And so I made the decision. Yes, I was tired. No, I didn't feel like reading some days, some nights. No, I didn't like because I had to go to bed at 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning because I was studying. But
I did it.
And so sometimes that's what we have to do in life. If we want to get ahead, if we desire to sit in certain rooms and certain conversations, you're going to have some sleepless nights.
Yes.
You can rest.
You'll get your sleep back. You'll get it back.
You'll get it back. Yes. Because I'm sleeping now. Yes. And I'm
that's right.
Beach. And about in a month and a half, when she go, after I drop her off, I already told my parents, okay, we can ride together, but We gonna keep driving, or I'm gonna drop y'all back off because
I got somewhere to be. That's right. That is right. And you know, this is a great conversation, and it is, as I knew it would be, one where I would not want it to end. But that just simply means you and I got to get back together over some more drinks.
But
you know, this has been just a wonderful opportunity to remind women of the importance of finding their voice. And sometimes it's finding their voice for the very first time. Sometimes it's finding their voice after having it taken away from them. And sometimes it is finding their voice by helping others to find theirs. So, you know, of all the nuggets that you've dropped, or all the things that we talked about today, you could say, what was your biggest takeaway? What would that be?
The biggest takeaway is finding your voice and using it to enhance, impact, empower yourself along with others.
Yes.
That was the biggest takeaway for me.
Yes.
Using your voice.
Yes. That is just so powerful. And when I think back, I mean, you said so many things, but if I could just drill it down to one, the one that just touched my soul was when you said, you've got to be a participant in your own healing.
Wow.
You've got to be a participant in your own healing. You cannot just pray to God and ask him to heal you and just wait. You got to be a participant in your own healing. Get yourself a therapist. Don't be ashamed, because I got me one. As a matter of fact, my next appointment coming up in 2 weeks, I look forward to it.
Yes.
My therapist has helped me to just, I don't believe I would be able to do Living Life in the End as I do without my therapist, because she helped me to get some shit off my chest. Excuse my language. Y'all know I did good. I held it the whole podcast. I did so good. But anyway, I had to get it off my chest. I had to get it off my chest, but it is. Yes. But you know, we hold that in, and I kind of use that on purpose, but it kind of stands for self-held in toxicity.
Wow.
Because we will hold that shit in.
We will.
And it will eat us up, kill us from the inside. We got to let it out. And your therapist helps you do that. I pray and I go to therapy. So I talk to God. I take it to Jesus and I take it to my therapist. Don't be ashamed.
And I cuss a little to help me get through it.
I cuss a lot. Y'all know I can't say.
I pray and I go to therapy and I cuss a little.
All right. Well, this has been just a fabulous conversation. And I just thank you so much for your honesty, for your transparency. And Angelita, you should have to say that one more time. I just thank you for your exuberance. As always, you are just full of so much joy. And it is beautiful to hear you sing
and to see you sing
and to see the song that you are in this beautiful world. So thank you. Thank you so much for joining.
Thank you, Stephanie. Thank you for having me. What a delight. It's always a pleasure to hear you, to see you, to watch you move. You have impacted so many women, and your journey is just beginning. The best days are still yet to come. Thank you for celebrating other women. Thank you for giving us a platform to talk. Thank you for giving us a platform to be transparent and safe and knowing what we do. Thank you for allowing me to call on you and allowing myself to share this time. So thank you.
Thank you. And I receive all that. And I am grateful for the opportunity for this platform and grateful that I'm able to share and to receive so much joy from others. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining me in this great conversation. And most of all, thank you for keeping it real.
Thank you.
And of course, to all of you listening, thank you so much for living life in the end today and every day. I appreciate you. I appreciate the courage it takes to decide to get everything you desire and deserve. So, Here's two. Here's, I'm going to raise my glass. You can't see it, but it is raised to you, to all of you out there who are living your life in the end. Thank you for joining me for another installation of Conversations, Libations, and Revelations. Here's to keeping it real. Hey, this is your girl, Dr. Stephanie D. Barnes. Thank you for joining me on another episode of Living Life in the End. For the woman who is set on getting everything she effing deserves. I hope you learned something, felt something, but most of all, girl, I hope you are ready to do something. Please be sure to let me know what you got out of this episode. Please subscribe so that you don't miss out on another great conversation. And of course, I'd love it if you would give us a rating and review and let me know how you are living life in the end. Because remember, life is too long to live unfulfilled. Your life is the product of your choices. Choose to commit to bringing the desires of your heart to completion. Let's get everything we deserve. Girl, let's get it.